Pushkin.
There have been five major extinction events on our planet. Events caused by changes so severe that many species simply can't adapt.
In a world gone haywire, sometimes art is the only thing that can make sense of it all. Or David Attenborough.
Right now, we are in the midst of the Earth's sixth mass extinction.
That's Sir David Attenborough, the voice of some of the most beautiful nature documentaries ever made. And this is the Chronicles of Now, where we ask some of today's greatest authors to write short fiction inspired by the news. I'm Ashley Ford.
Up to 1 million species of plants and animals face extinction, many within decades. That is according to a new United Nations report.
The environmental news these days, let's get real here. It's bad. Really bad. Worse than coronavirus bad. Even David Attenborough can't make it better bad. And it's all our fault. Yes, we humans have gone and effed it up.
People can be the absolute worst or sometimes the absolute best. And it kind of sucks.
This is Manuel Gonzalez.
It would be nice, right? If people could just be always the absolute best. But in this case, they're the worst.
Manuel Gonzalez is the author of the novel The Regional Office is Under Attack. He's a fantastical writer, so maybe it should be unsurprising that the concept of species extinction got him thinking about, wait for it.
For some reason, it made me think of black box theater. Which is also on its way out, it feels like, sadly, especially now with the quarantine. But it made me think of that and then like a tiny little spotlight on like the very last thing. And then I just kind of kept going with it. I sent it to a couple of friends who were really mad at me for foisting such a disturbing and what they thought was very funny and then unsettling little fiction at them.
It's not that they expected there to be a huge crowd. Certainly not African gray parrot-sized, which had been 30,000 people easily. They'd had to rent out Fenway Park for that one. Or Mary River turtle crowds, nearly 19,000 people, but that wasn't too surprising. Any turtle, no matter what kind of turtle, puts butts in seats. Or even broad-billed hummingbird big. Well, and let's be honest, no one expected the broad-billed hummingbird crowd to be as big as it was. Originally, they'd booked a 500-seat venue for that job, thinking they'd be lucky to fill half of it. Because who even knew about the broad-billed hummingbird except for Kevin, creeping in the back of the office with all his North American bird books? But then all 500 tickets sold out in 45 minutes. So Jerry worked her magic, canceled the smaller venue, booked a theater three times the size across town, and that sold out again in another half hour. Not to mention all the pay-per-view tickets they sold once the rest of the birding community got wind of the event. All this for a fucking hummingbird, Jerry said, shaking her head at the weeping, the sobbing, as the last bit of life eked out of that last hummingbird. Just think how much money we'd have made if we'd done this sort of thing for the goddamn Amur leopard. Or Jesus, the Asian elephant. We'd be fucking retired if we'd done this with the Asian elephant. But still, here they were, in a black box theater in Queens. Fucking Queens, for Christ's sake, Jerry said, practically spitting. With a capacity hovering at right around 100 bodies. The four of them watching the very last American burying beetle on this, the planet Earth, breathe its very last breath. Do fucking beetles even breathe? Jerry asked. And you could count the number of people in attendance on two hands.
I told you we should have done my thing, Kevin whispered.
Shut up about your thing, Jerry said. Turn down the lights. Cue the soundtrack. The problem was, most of your crowd pleasers had already died out. Add to that an oversaturated market. You get six people plus staff sitting in an empty theater in Queens waiting for a bug to kick it. Back when they'd started out, no one was working extinction witnessing events. Now there were 100 companies doing the same. Kevin's thing had been simple enough. Don't sell tickets to witness the extinction of just one bug. Nah, boss, it said to Jerry, even though Jerry wasn't anyone's boss. You gotta make it big, make it flashy, gather up a bunch of bugs, right? Rent a warehouse, let them all loose, right? It's like a big party. You pay to get in, there's a cash bar, we rent out muck boots, call it like the killing fields. You're not just witnessing extinction, you're causing it. It'll be huge. It probably would have been huge. Bigger than this, anyway. A competing outfit across town had done something similar. Gathered the last of the North American rock cresses, your smooth, your green, and thrown in some variants of sweet grass and milk vetch. And Jerry scoffed. Who's gonna pay money to watch a fucking plant go extinct? But then they rented out a big space and four flamethrowers and protective gear, hired some off-duty firefighters, and for $50,000 a pop, you could torch the place. Last week, Kevin sent them his resume and the killing fields idea, not to mention some other ideas he'd been cooking up. The lights went down, all but a spotlight on the stage, lighting up what could have been, from this distance, any goddamn bug. Then Enya's watermark piped in over the crappy speakers. Enya. Jerry closed her eyes. Always gotta be fucking Enya.
That was The Extinction Show by Manuel Gonzalez. The reader was Eduardo Ballerini. Manuel Gonzalez, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, sure.
Why Enya and not Sarah McLachlan? I think of Sarah McLachlan as the musical patron saint of wounded and or extinct animals. And you went full Enya. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, we can. You know, it's a very particular choice built on the fact that I had a roommate who forced us to listen to Enya every night while he tried to go to sleep when we were dorm mates in college. And it felt like the perfect final note of this just terrible story that I made up.
The story is exaggerating something our culture does, which is to turn everything we can into entertainment in order to make a buck. Yet here you are making me laugh an extinction show. And that kind of makes me go, Manuel, are you part of the problem?
I might
be. You've turned this into entertainment. You've entertained me.
It's uncomfortable how funny I think this story is, and I wrote it, and I shouldn't think my own stuff is as funny, but I think what I like to do, though, is make people then feel really bad about the thing that they found really funny.
It's curious to me that the broad-billed hummingbird was a blockbuster in your story, because A, I love birds, like, known bird lover, though I'm not sure I would want to show up for a bird's final appearance. That would be really hard for me. But what is your story saying about the value of different species?
There's this prioritization of the very beautiful animals. Everybody is very fervently in favor of saving them, or not everybody, but everybody talks a good game about that. Mm-hmm. And then still, there are so many species that we're losing that there are a bunch of them that are just like very pedestrian, small, but beautiful biological cogs in this ecosystem that we have to survive in. As everything starts to die off, we're losing those as well, and those are just as important. But people aren't going to pay a whole lot to see the last beetle die.
No, they're not. this story, it seems so far-fetched, but fewer and fewer things are seeming far-fetched in this day and time.
Yeah.
So in 10, 15 years, could you see a version of something like this actually happening? Do you think it would take that long?
I don't know if it would even take that long. And I kind of feel bad that I put this idea out there because there's going to be some like venture capitalist entrepreneurs like, oh, yeah.
You can read my full interview with Manuel Gonzalez on our website, chronicles.fm, where you can also read The Extinction Show and other short fiction torn from today's headlines. The sound designer and composer is Bart Warshaw. The producer is Curtis Fox. The associate producer is Emily Rostick. Tyler Cabot is the executive producer and founder of Chronicles of Now. For Pushkin Industries, special thanks to Lital Malad and Jacob Weisberg. For the Chronicles of Now podcast, I'm Ashley Ford. Thanks for listening.